Florida Business Minds, presented by the Business Journals of Florida. Brought to you by TECO People's Gas, at the heart of Florida's energy. The words affordable and housing are hard to come by in Florida's hot market, but Ability Housing is making an impact. Jacksonville Business Journal Editor-in-Chief Tim Gibbons checks in with President and CEO Shannon Nasworth.
Well, thanks again for joining me today. I know this is a really important issue here in Jacksonville and across the state, and you've been working on affordable housing issues for quite a while. So I kind of want to talk to you about what Ability Housing is doing, where you see the future, and maybe talk about some solutions to the crisis that the state is facing. Jumping right into it, you've been working in this field for a long time, and I think it's safe to say that at least there's a general sense that this crisis has gotten worse. What have you learned over your time in dealing with housing issues that you're bringing to bear now as you're helping trying to solve the crisis?
Well, I mean, I have been doing this a very long time. Before working at Ability, I was with Habitat for Humanity. So most of my professional career has been affordable housing in one way or another. And I would say, you know, what I'm bringing to the table, what I've learned over all those years is that this is something that impacts everyone, whether you're the person who needs the affordable housing, or you have an employee who's the person who needs the affordable housing, or a churchgoer, or whoever it is. You know, as a society, as a community, if people are struggling for very basic human needs, shelter and food, they're not going to be able to contribute as fully to the community as a whole, and our community suffers. And I've just really, really seen the impacts of being able to move somebody into a quality, stable home and the impacts it has on them physically, mentally, you know, their employability, everything just becomes so much more solid.
I want to talk about some of the creative things that Ability Housing is doing, but to the point you just made, I know you've done projects that include turning vacant schools into apartments. And one of those projects, it was specifically targeted to help teachers have housing. And when you think about the broad societal impact of that, of a teacher who is housing secure is going to be, you know, more engaged in the classroom, and the ripple effects that come out of something like that are immense.
Absolutely. And it really is a critical issue for the school district. You know, we partnered with Duval County Public Schools because they want to use it as a recruitment and retention mechanism, not just for teachers, but, you know, they're fighting with Amazon for school bus drivers, you know, and we all want our kids picked up on time and dropped off on time, without hours-long commutes on the school bus. So it really does have lasting impacts on so many factors. You know, in the healthcare system, we have a lot of people who are not paid enough to afford market housing, but you want them to be at the top of their form when your mother or father is in the hospital, you know, or when you unfortunately have to seek assistance. And it just goes across the board. With everyone we interact with, if they just have the security of a place they know that they can go home at night, be safe, be secure, not worry about paying the rent at the end of the month, they're just able to function at such a higher level and able to interact with the rest of the community so much more broadly. And of course, if they have kids, that just impacts are so much demonstratively higher because of the lifelong impacts on those children.
Talk to me about how you as an organization approach these projects. So, you know, I mentioned the reusing schools, you do new construction, you just recently bought the senior towers over there in Arlington. You kind of do a mixture of ways of getting to your goal of having housing. How do you go about actually deciding what your next project should be?
So honestly, the first consideration is what are the resources we think we can get to create the housing? Because to do affordable housing, you're competing for highly competitive resources, mostly from the state, federal resources administered by the state. And so we really just have to be very aware of what are those opportunities. And then when we're looking for sites, you know, is that location a good one for the people we're serving? Is there transportation nearby? Are there stores nearby? And it can vary by who we're going to be serving. You know, if it's a property like the senior tower, local schools wouldn't be as important, but other properties, we'd be more looking at schools and proximity to schools and community centers and those types of things. So we really just, first and foremost, do we think we can get it financed? Is it something that would be competitive? And then is it appropriate for our resident? And we will try everything. Acquisition, rehab, adaptive reuse, new construction. You know, we partnered with Advent Health in Orlando to convert a transitional housing program into 75 apartments. And, It was one of the more difficult projects, but one of the best partners we've ever had. And together, we're so thrilled. We really try to get as creative as we possibly can and not turn away any opportunity to house more people.
It is such a challenging business. You're facing the same challenges that every residential developer has, plus the financing side, plus you have to think about stakeholders in a different way. You know, residential developers obviously also care about, is there a school in the neighborhood sort of thing, but each of your projects is kind of bespoke, and that has to have interests and challenges.
It's very interesting, and it is a difficult, complicated industry that we've chosen to work within. But when we see a family move in, when we see the relief on the mother and father's face, knowing their kids are going to be safe that night and don't have to worry about paying the rent, it really does make it worth it. But we're competing with investors, we're dealing with interest rates and labor costs and construction costs, just like everybody else. Insurance is a huge concern. We can't, even if we wanted to, we were not allowed to raise our rents. Of course, as a nonprofit, we don't want to raise our rents, but because it's affordable housing and there's limits on how much we can charge, when interest rates go up 30, 60, even more percent, it becomes very challenging for the entire industry.
Yeah, the insurance costs, the issue of rising insurance is warehouse development, residential development, it's such an issue. And yeah, you're capped, which makes it even more so. You mentioned Orlando, and that's one of the things that I've found interesting over the past couple of years with Ability Housing. You've been in Northeast Florida for like 3 decades or so, and then you started branching out, and you're now in, I know, Central Florida, I think maybe South Florida as well.
We're going to St. Pete.
What led to branching out geographically?
So Central Florida actually has a commission on homelessness that brought in a group of national experts to help them determine how best to address homelessness in the Tri-County region. And they recommended getting us to expand there because the housing we create is the solution to homelessness. And so they came, met with my executive committee of my board. We've got a very nice grant from JPMorgan Chase, and we were able to expand and work with the city of Orlando and Orange County and Advent Health, who was a key partner in our first project down there. And we did it because we saw the commitment from the entire community. We realized we could be part of a solution that was a community-wide solution. And that's why we were interested. And then St. Pete, we've been partnering with a nonprofit based out of St. Pete for a few years. And they have a property they have been wanting to develop into affordable housing. And we were able to secure the resources. And we're really looking forward to working on them with that project.
Talk about that point you just mentioned, the community engagement. So I know that's something I've heard you speak elsewhere about, the importance of truly being a partner. But as you look at these projects, particularly as you're expanding into new areas, what are you looking for from the community?
Absolutely. I mean, we get asked by a lot of communities. And honestly, if they're just looking to us to come create the solution for them, we can't do that. But if they're trying to develop strategies to create the solution, we're part of those strategies. That's really what we're looking for. It's not just the government. Are the businesses involved, the faith community? What is the nonprofit ecosystem in that community? Will we be able to develop relationships so that we're helping our residents access resources throughout the community and also helping those nonprofits by providing space or whatever to help them be stronger as well? So we really do look to be part of a community-wide solution. If it's just us doing a housing project, that's not going to really solve anything. Yes, there will be quality housing, but if we're not part of an ecosystem, our residents won't have the full opportunity to thrive as much as if we're helping them tap into resources throughout the community. And that's really part of the key to our success.
Come in and wave your magic wand and just make housing appear is not actually a solution, it turns out.
Well, I mean, it does help, don't get me wrong. And for some people, you know, they don't need the level of supports and interaction, but Ability Housing is focusing on people exiting homelessness and persons with disabilities and other barriers. So while some people just, and I'm finger quoting, you know, the affordable housing is all that they need, and we're not opposed to doing that, we do realize that given who we're targeting, we really want to be more than just the landlord. We want to be a partner, and they're determining their success.
Right, because it's a long-term solution. Whatever led to the person being unhoused in the first place, if you're dealing with that root cause, as well as putting a roof over their head, there's more of a long-term impact.
Absolutely. And that's why we have such a high success rate and why so many of our residents sustain stable housing, even though they came from years and years of living on the streets.
Shannon Nasworth joining us. Next, her goals for expansion as Florida Business Minds continues. People's Gas, working with businesses across Florida to lower energy usage and costs with efficient natural gas. Get cashback energy conservation rebates when you install new natural gas equipment. Learn more at peoplesgas.com/bizrebates.
So geographic expansion is one way you're growing. The other is this past year, you've staffing-wise, you've expanded as well. I know you have a COO, a development director, and I think you have more coming next year on the staffing level. What are you looking for as you expand your staff?
Yes, this year we did a strategic plan, and really the top priority was making sure our internal infrastructure was solid enough that we could build and do more. You know, you don't want to be reaching out and doing things and then stretch yourself too thin. So we did create the COO position. We have a new development director. We're looking for people, first and foremost, they have to believe in our mission. This work is really hard. And if they don't believe in our mission, they're just not going to thrive here. They will decide they can do something else somewhere else for a lot less effort. But we're looking for people with experience, especially real estate and ideally affordable rental housing experience, but definitely real estate experience. And we're competing with for-profit developers. So it's a challenge.
I assume you're not hitting the same salary level, but if somebody is committed to the mission, that could make up for it.
Yes. I mean, you know, we don't pay proper wages. People are, you know, able to support themselves and their families, but they can definitely make more money working somewhere else.
I do want to pull back a little bit and just kind of look at the broader problem. You know, as we started out talking, affordable housing has been an issue for years. And with rents increasing, home prices increasing, and people pouring into Florida, it's become even more of an issue. As you look broadly over the landscape, what would you like to see done? Are there things on a governmental level, societal level, other nonprofits? What are the steps that you would want people listening to support or push for or, you know, get involved with?
All of the above. So I would say on the government side, one, they need to invest in affordable housing. And the state legislature did this past year, and they just need to lean in on that investment. And the local communities need to make similar types of investments. We need more housing. The production just hasn't kept up with population growth. We've also got to address things like zoning. We've just zoned ourselves into an affordable housing crisis by having the majority of our land be for single family dwellings. And, you know, here in Jacksonville, if you look at Riverside and Avondale, we're not allowed to do those kinds of communities anymore, but it's where everybody wants to live. So we've got to open our minds and open our hearts to doing things differently than we thought we wanted. And then, you know, we have to be willing to support and stand up. When somebody says, no, I don't want those people or that housing in my neighborhood, saying, you know, that's the teacher's assistant. You know, that's who we're talking about. It's not somebody who's the boogeyman. You're willing to let your child spend half the day with them. It's okay if they live in your neighborhood.
It is so easy to utter the idea of who needs affordable housing. I remember years ago, you know, journalism is not a terribly highly paid industry, and working at a smaller paper that we were doing a story on affordable housing programs, and somebody looked around and was like, we have people working here who would qualify. You know, it's not those people out there, it's people we know.
When we were in Orlando, we were working on a new construction property that was a priority project for the city, and half of the units were going to be set aside for people exiting homelessness. And we were meeting with the neighborhood and introducing ourselves. We hadn't done anything in Orlando prior, but we really made it an intentional effort to meet with everybody. And there's a daycare preschool next door to where the property is located, and we were meeting with them and some of their neighbors. And she said, you know, straight up, she was very honest. I was concerned when I heard, you know, a project serving the homeless was going to be coming in next door. And then I realized two of my teachers live in their cars.
Wow.
So it took her a minute to realize that she was afraid of her own teachers, but then she quickly realized and was also very willing to say that in front of others to remind them, we're talking about real people with real lives that we should not stereotype.
Excellent. Well, that feels like a good point to wrap this up at. I really do appreciate you taking the time today, and I look forward to seeing what 2024 brings on the affordable housing front.
Awesome. I look forward to it as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you for downloading Florida Business Minds, presented by the Business Journals of Florida. Brought to you by TECO People's Gas, at the heart of Florida's energy.